It's time now for Ask Dr. Gail. We do this every Friday this time. Dr. Gail is the family therapist on iVillage. You can go to parentsplace.com/expert/family, and there you'll find links to get your questions answered very speedily from her Making a Healthy Families message board and an Easier Childbirth message board. How are you doing, Gail?
I'm doing very well. I mentioned to you earlier I have my grandson watching Peter Pan. He's six, so my daughter brought him over instead of taking him to daycare.
See, I wish I had you. See, I wish I had my son's grandparents around. That would be cool.
I wish I did, too.
Yes.
I'm jealous of myself.
Yes, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Once again, you can find Dr. Gail's page. Go to www.parentsplace.com/expert/family. Get into our questions that we have for today. Here we are. The topic, when infertility dampens a sex life, it comes to us from Tom. Dr. Gail, my wife and I have been trying to conceive for a couple of years. We have a five-year-old, and obviously finding time is quite a challenge. Lately, I've been having trouble reaching orgasm. It never used to be a problem. I think it might be due to all the pressure. We often must have sex on schedule. My theory on it is I'm trying too hard, and the pressure to conceive is affecting my ability to do so. My wife is very understanding, but she's getting frustrated as well and thinks I'm not attracted to her anymore, which couldn't be further from the truth. Any suggestions?
Oh, well, this is a really hard one. Infertility, even secondary infertility, which is what this is because, you know, they do have a child, but still it can cause depression and marital strain. And certainly the hypothesis is, I think, a good one. Infertility does dampen sex life, and you know, many reasons for this, which are pretty obvious. The sex on demand, the schedules, you know, decreases the spontaneity and the romance. There is pressure to conceive, so you're going from, you know, kind of a sense of beingness and being with each other and enjoying each other to a sense of product. We have to produce something here.
Right.
Something has to come out of this, you know, which is against all of our, of course, Buddhist practices, you know. So, and then the sense of failure. On top of all that, there's the sense that not only, you know, do we want to have a product out of this, but that we can't do it.
Right.
So all of this, you know, definitely puts a damper on sex life and makes it harder, really, to be aroused. So really, you want to take a break, not from the lovemaking, but from the trying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is something you can do about this. You can take a break from the schedule and reclaim the sensuality in the relationship. Also, let your wife know you find her very attractive.
Yeah.
But, you know, talk about it. You know, bring her flowers. Say, you know, let's take a break from this. Let's go to a bed and breakfast. Let's just, you know, let's just enjoy each other.
Mm-hmm.
Let's warm candlelight, you know, baths, massage, you know, really focusing on recovering the sensuality. And, you know, nothing says you couldn't still get pregnant at the same time, but you're not focused on the product. But one more thing, don't stop there, because when you think about it, and many people don't think of this, Lydia, you tell me if you've ever heard anybody think about this, but I had a client who did this, and it seemed very, very smart to me at the time. She actually went for artificial insemination.
Mm-hmm.
During the time that she would be ovulating. In other words, the scheduled time, she didn't want to give it up in terms of trying to get pregnant, but they did want to reduce the pressure around the scheduling and the, you know, having sex on demand type thing. And so they did take a break from that, but she went ahead and actually became pregnant when she went to the doctor for the artificial insemination with her husband's sperm.
Wow.
So I thought that was very interesting.
Now that's the way to do it. Yeah.
You know, because we don't really think in terms of that. And, you know, and maybe some people don't want to do that because they're more romantic about it. But on the other hand, if you're losing your romance anyway, you know, and it is a very important thing to really look at, you know, is there damage going on from this sort of ongoing, you know, focus and stress on, you know, trying to get pregnant, the failure, the, you know, all the feelings that come up from it, and really taking a break and recovering your relationship can just feel wonderful.
Well, I'm thinking of, you know, I just remember hearing so many times of so many couples that had given up trying and adopted a child, and then they immediately get pregnant.
Yeah, there really is. You know, I just was working with a woman, same kind of thing, secondary infertility, and the same kind of thing of, you know, the minute that she was sure she wasn't going to get pregnant and had sort of let go, there she is, pregnant.
Yeah.
So that is just so classic, and we don't know all of what that's about in the autonomic nervous system of the body. How the body works is just fantastically complex in the brain and the limbic system, and very, very fascinating.
Mm-hmm. We're talking here with Dr. Gail Peterson. She's the family therapist on Parents Place on iVillage. You can go to parentsplace.com/expert/family. Moving on to our, are we ready to move on to our next question?
Sure,
okay.
I'm ready.
Our next question, we're definitely, you know, doing the fertility, the birthing experience kind of questions today. The next one is worried about repeating a bad birth experience. It comes from Paula. Dr. Gail, my husband and I have a 13-month-old daughter, and we would like to begin trying to conceive. I'm excited about having another child, but I'm really frightened of having another horrible birth experience. With my first baby, I was in labor for more than a day, failed to progress beyond 5 centimeters, and my baby's heartbeat was lost for 5 minutes. We ended up having an emergency cesarean. I felt cheated of a normal birth. I'm worried that a horrible mishap will occur next time. Is there anything I can do to prevent having another traumatic birth experience?
Well, you know, this is, you know, the childbirth, the fertility, all of these issues are very, very much women's issues, and not to say they're not family issues, but you wouldn't believe how many questions I get about childbirth, about fertility, and oftentimes it's the only time a woman really gets to talk about her birth, you know, because since it's over, she's supposed to be over it. But you can see that that's not the case.
Right.
And it's a very important event in a woman's life, and how it's handled is very important. So I really encourage women to really focus on their feelings around the birth. Now, in this case, Paula can do something about the emotional fallout because what she's experiencing is post-traumatic stress syndrome. And it is about the birth, and the next birth that comes up, she's going to project all those feelings onto it for good reason, you know, because emotionally she was traumatized by the experience. Very, very frightening. So the first thing to do is to address it rather than to, you know, just, I mean, certainly you should be reassured that, you know, this is very unlikely and so forth, but emotionally that's not going to do it. Now, Paula's in luck because on my column today, I think it's still there, the very top article on my column at Parents Place is on traumatic birth, on healing from a past traumatic birth experience, and it has exercises that she can do. Also, my book, An Easier Childbirth, also has these some of these exercises. So there is something she can do about it. She can talk about it. She can dialogue about it. She can work through it with visualization and writing, all of which she can, you know, look into and decide what's right for her. And then after that, she can begin to look at what went right in the labor. Now, that might be a very strange thing. Can you, can you see anything that went right in the labor?
She has a healthy baby.
She has a healthy baby, and that she's probably been told, and of course that's very, very important, very important. Is there anything else you see here that, this is like, you know, the puzzle, putting the puzzle together. you might not see it because oftentimes we don't, but is there anything else you see here that went right?
Let me just pull the question. See, I'd already gotten rid of the questions. I have to see this in front of me.
Right.
I have to see it right in front of me. Okay, I've got it back. Well, the fact that her baby, I mean, I guess just the baby's heartbeat was lost for a while and that they still were, that she was still okay.
Yeah, that's important. That's another thing in the labor that when you do visualization, you want to go back and remind her of, and this is something she can do. And the other thing that's there that we forget is, you know, she went to 5 centimeters.
Oh,
she was halfway there in terms of dilatation. And that's really what you want to start to look at after you express all of the negative feelings, you know, because she's got to express those, you know, and the fears, et cetera. But then she needs to look at, well, what went right? She got halfway there. So, okay, so I'm going to go out on a limb a little bit here. We have to begin to imagine, well, what could have happened? Okay, probably, maybe, and this is something she can ask her doctor, but she probably might have been in a situation where the child's, the cord was compressed somehow. So what you want to do as you, you know, after you've expressed your negative feelings and the fears and the trauma, is you want to go to the next person, and then you want to look back at the last person and say, well, okay, well, how could this have been different? What could have gone right, and what would that feel like? So mm-hmm. already her baby, her body knows how to go to 5 centimeters, you know, so she dilates, you know, all the way to 5. That's really good.
Yeah.
So the second time, you know, the body knows that. So there's less new that's going to happen. But what if the baby was, you know, the head was totally down, the cord was out of the way, it was just totally, totally presenting correctly?
Mm-hmm.
What would happen as she progressed through a normal delivery, normal vaginal delivery? She really needs to give herself the right to visualize that also.
Right.
But she can't, see, that's the trickiest part, is women can't just jump to that. They need really to go through and express the trauma. And they need to find out from their doctor, well, what happened? What do you think happened? Why shouldn't this happen again?
Mm-hmm.
Not just, well, it probably won't happen again, you know, but why shouldn't it happen again? Okay, we're going to be listening to the heartbeat. We're going to be, you know, all these precautions, so she's assured of that. And then if everything's fine, then she needs to give herself the right to see, well, how can I visualize what it would be like if things went well?
Mm-hmm.
And then you visualize, you know, the positive, normal, you know, progressive experience and how much the body has learned. And I have seen this with women, you know, how much the body has learned the first time around, even when there's a cesarean. When a woman goes on to have a vaginal birth after cesarean, oftentimes the second stage will be like that of a second baby. You know, the second stage mm-hmm. will only be, you know, 20 minutes as opposed
right.
to an hour or something like
right.
that. You know, and you really see how the body can learn from this. I mean, it's just a tremendous learning organ
yeah.
on every level.
You know,
but you do need to visualize it. You give it the message.
Well,
know?
I also, I guess I have... I think all births are, I mean, you know, she says she feels cheated of a normal birth. And
mm-hmm.
I guess I just wish I could see some reframing there saying, you know, I remember the one, I had a very long labor. My son was born vaginally, but it was a 55-hour labor.
Wow.
It was very, very long, and I ended up having to have an epidural, and I did not want that.
Mm-hmm.
I had to have a lot of things I didn't want. And I cautioned friends after that. I was like, you know, even if you think you're going to be just fine and have, you know, don't they, you know, prepare yourself beforehand and say, you know, if things are a little different than your expectations, that doesn't mean that you're not having a normal birth, but it doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you.
Right.
Because midwives have done whatever they could do throughout the centuries to birth babies.
Right.
And we still do that.
And a cesarean is a cesarean birth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the baby is born.
Yeah.
And this is,
yeah.
you know. So that's another thing that, you know, in the exercises that she'll read, you know, that she gave birth. This
yeah.
wasn't, you know, not a birth. It was a birth. But it is understandable, too,
mm-hmm.
that she would feel like, oh, I missed out on this part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll go back. We'll look at, well, what would that have been like if you had given birth vaginally to this baby? And then what would that feel like in the future? And even if she had another cesarean, because, you know, we can't control these things, and,
right.
you know, if there's some reason the baby should be born that way, then it should be born that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You want a safe outcome. But that doesn't mean she can't give herself the right to imagine, well, what would that have been like? Because after all, I mean, it's like you go to a movie, you pay your money, you imagine, you know, you know, these actors are just acting up there. But there's nothing wrong with giving your body the pleasure of, well, what would that feel like? What would that feel like? You know, we can use fantasy and visualization to help us not just prepare, but also to fill in places that we may never know, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, as long as we don't think that means we should have had it. You
no,
know,
that's right.
You know, it's inevitable that, you know, we're going to have the feelings we have. Now, if a woman doesn't feel she missed out, well, that's fine, too. There's nothing that should tell her she should do this. But if she feels that way, then she should answer her own needs.
Right. We're talking here with Dr. Gail Peterson. Ask Dr. Gail, a segment that airs every Friday at this time here on HITS Live. You can go to parentsplace.com/expert/family and find links to Dr. Gail's boards and Easier Childbirth, Birthing Normally, Making Healthy Babies, and then check out the article today that is on the top, Healing from a Traumatic Birth.
Right.
Thanks so much for joining us.
I'll see you next week.
Okay.
Take care.
You too.